The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DKHOOPS. That's code DKHOOPS for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
Welcome back. I'm Israel Gutierrez, host of 4 Years of Heat. If you haven't listened to it yet, you're missing out. It takes you through the 2010 to 2014 Miami Heat. Obviously, LeBron was on that team, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. And this guy right here was close. He was almost on that team. Chris Quinn is future head coach, is what I like to call him, but he's currently an assistant head coach with the Miami Heat. Played with the Heat from 08 to 10, or was it 7?
6 to 10.
6 to 10, excuse me, 6 to 10. And then played for some other teams and then eventually became a coach here. But I wanted to take you back to your playing days because you were a Notre Dame guard, all Big East first team your senior season. You were actually one of the undrafted Miami Heat stories, right? Talk to me about how you ended up with Miami and just your experience there playing alongside Dwayne.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I was just thinking about it. It was 17 years ago now, you know, that I was here in summer league trying to earn a spot. Basically, I went undrafted in the 2006 NBA draft. My agent called right after the draft. The Miami Heat were coming off the 06 championship. Yep. They had most of their team back, and they had a couple spots that, you know, towards the end of the roster that were open, and they wanted a couple young guys. Of course, you know, they had no draft picks that year, so there was no other guys drafted ahead of me.
Right.
For the Heat, there was a few of us that they signed right away, basically on a summer league training camp type deals, so that we could go in there, compete, battle it out, and eventually, you know, try to make the main roster. You know, I was lucky enough. You know, my rookie year was obviously Dwayne in his prime. Shaq was still there, Zoe was still there, Gary Payton, Jay Will. It was the star-studded 06 team.
Right.
So it was an incredible experience getting to know those guys, being in the locker room with those type of Hall of Fame guys. And obviously you mentioned Dwayne. You know, those years I was there, that was his prime. You know, he got injured the 1 year, then came back and led right. The league in scoring. But just what a special player that always rose, you know, to the occasion in the biggest moments.
I want to go back to the year, the injury-prone year, the year that they basically didn't win a whole lot of games and they were just giving a lot of people some time, but you had some great moments in that year. Any sort of memorable standout moments? Because there was one play, I want to say it was against the Phoenix Suns. It was just like a fast break. I think it was an and one, and I think you even shocked yourself with the finish, and I'm just like, I love seeing that from players who are in the league and maybe are surprising themselves. Like, what were some of the highlights from your stint there?
Yeah, it was one of those games where We were down, I think, 15 or 20, and they put in the second unit
right.
for the fourth quarter, and then we made a big run, cut their lead, I think, eventually to two or three. But it was the shot. Someone actually asked me about it yesterday and was wondering if it was a trivia question, if I knew who fouled me when uh-huh. when I made that shot. But I actually don't remember. But I do remember the moment. I kind of just threw it up and it went in. But it was a lot of fun moments, you know, a lot of moments behind the scenes of hard work. Obviously, my first 2 years, I played for Coach Riley,
yeah.
Which was an amazing experience. And then my last 2 years, basically a year and a half, was under Spo, played for Spo's. That was his first 2 years. I actually joke with Spo all the time that in 2010 that he traded me away from the Miami Heat.
Right.
You know, obviously the next summer is when they got the
right.
the big three.
What was that like when you traded away and then all of a sudden you turn around and be like, oh no, LeBron just signed with the Heat. What just happened?
Yeah. Yeah, it was a bittersweet moment, but you know, I joke with Spo. He says at that time he didn't have a lot of pull, but I joke with him that he traded me away. And it was just, you know, I was happy, you know, for the organization, created a lot of great relationships. Fortunately, those relationships eventually led me back as a coach. And obviously, Spo, as a young coach, being put in that position and then doing so well with it was super cool to see.
Yeah, I was going to say, what you saw, what you experienced from Spo, he's clearly a different coach than he is now back then. But what did you see from him in those first couple of years that made you think, hey, this guy's got something?
Yeah, as always, it was the same concepts. It was his work ethic. He had a ton of grit as a head coach. He was always trying to look for ways to improve, get better. How can I be better as a coach? How can I better serve our players? And he would always look at himself first. After a bad loss, after a win, he was always looking in the mirror. How could he do better? How could he help the team more? Those are the things that have led him to become, you know, obviously one of the best right now.
Now, after you left the Heat, you had some stints with some other teams. You played in Russia. You played in Cleveland also. Talk to me about how you got back to Miami. What was the path to get you into coaching?
Yeah, so my fifth year, I played in San Antonio with the Spurs, which was super cool. Obviously, you know, I went from Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, to Greg Popovich. It's three of the top, you know, they just did the top 15 list
right.
of all time. These are three of the greatest of all time. So I got to learn from them, you know, basketball 101 from three of the greatest minds. My sixth year playing professionally was the lockout year.
Right.
And, you know, my agent called in the middle of the summer, basically said, hey, I have a deal for you in Russia. At that time, you know, there was a lot of discussion if the season was even going to start.
Yep.
You know, what did that look like? I think it eventually started around Christmas.
Yeah.
Right. And then, you know, basically at that point, I was, like, not guaranteed to be on an NBA roster. I was still fighting my way, you know, even after my fifth year. And I got, a good deal to go to Russia with my wife, my newborn son, who's 12 now. We took off, went to Russia, played a season there for Khimki Moscow. And it was an incredible life experience.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there was good days and bad days. But for my wife and I, you know, we still look back, talk about, you know, the different experiences we had.
What were some of the good days? Like, what do you remember?
So the thing I remember the most is that our team won the Euro Cup, which was a big event there. And it was just like towards the end of the season, it was a culmination of a lot of hard work, a lot of, you know, good days, bad days. And then I just remember my teammates. So basically our team was consisted of six Russian players and six, you know, foreign players, non-Russians. So there was a couple of Americans. We had an Australian. We had a couple Croatians. And I just remember hanging out with them and getting to know the different cultures. You know, we would hang out all the time. You know, go get coffee is like a way of life over there.
Yeah.
But it was just super cool to get to know a whole different way.
All right. So you got to Miami as an assistant coach. When Jimmy Butler got there, talk to me about sort of the fit that he was with the Heat and how he even elevated that just sort of on-court competitiveness that the Heat just so loves to, say that they're very good at.
Right. Yeah, so Jimmy was just like a perfect match for the Miami Heat. He came in, he does it all, he works super hard. He's a great leader in the locker room. And, you know, the one thing, you know, a lot of us – in the Heat culture have in common is we're super competitive. And, you know, for better or worse, if things aren't going, you know, the way we all think they are, should be going, we have a level of accountability. We talk to each other. We preach eye-to-eye communication. You know, all these things that, you know, Jimmy stands for as well. Obviously, there's moments where, you know, he gets frustrated if we're not winning, but, you know, that we all kind of feel like that. And it was just a good match. And obviously, you know, now he's, you know, taking us, you know, to multiple finals, you know, multiple conference finals. And I think it's just been a great match for the Heat and Jimmy and working together, you know, towards a common goal.
You guys had such a great run through 2020, through the bubble, and, you know, the couple of years after that, the first round against Milwaukee and then the Game 7 against Boston. But this past year, during the regular season, because Spo says we were close all regular season, but from the outside looking in, you might not see that, right? So talk to me about what was just off during the regular season enough to make the record be what it was.
Yeah, I think it was a combination of things. Obviously, availability injuries are a part of it, but also, like, we would have great wins and we would have bad losses.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes against some of the better teams we'd play better, and against some of the other teams we wouldn't play as well.
That's a consistency you just don't expect, or an inconsistency you don't expect.
Yeah, it was like a roller coaster of a season, regular season. And we kept grinding through it. We stuck together. There was definitely days where we all felt like we weren't any good. We didn't perform the way we wanted to perform.
For a team that's been together for a few years, when you're at that point where it's just like, what's happening? We can't figure it out. Like, what do you do to do that? What do you do to just say, look, trust me, it's going to be okay?
Yeah, I think you have to maintain optimism, but then also, like, address the issues at the same time. We checked every box. Like, there was meetings, there was team meetings, film sessions, practices, whatever it took to just keep grinding through while maintaining a optimism and a belief that we were going to figure it out.
Right.
The good thing is we had super high character guys in our locker room, and, you know, that belief started with them. A lot of them, you know, felt the way we felt. If we can get it right, if we can click at the right moment, you know, we can make something special happen. And I think, you know, you talked about Jimmy. A lot of that even started with him and his belief. You know, he thinks when he goes on the court, he's the best player, regardless who else is on the court.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all felt that same way.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. With same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more, don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down. And if you're new to DraftKings, you got to check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code DKHOOPS. That's code DKHOOPS for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Good sleep should come naturally, and with the new Natural Hybrid mattress, it can. A collaboration between award-winning mattress brand Leesa and home design favorite West Elm, the Natural Hybrid is the culmination of these two companies' shared values: premium materials, meticulous craftsmanship, and sustainable practices. Made with natural latex, responsibly sourced naturally. natural wool and environmentally safe foams, the Natural Hybrid elevates your sleep sanctuary, indulges your senses, and supports a greener tomorrow. Plus, when you purchase the Natural Hybrid, you're also helping fuel Lisa's work with shelters and those in need. Since 2015, Lisa has donated more than 40,000 mattresses to ensure children and families have a safe place to sleep. Don't put off a good night's sleep any longer. Get a Lisa mattress today for a sound sleep tonight. Visit lisa.com/iHeart. That's LEESA.com/iHeart.
I wanted to ask you about Udonis Haslem, and obviously retiring, but how much of a role did he have in just maintaining everybody because he'd been doing it for so long?
Yeah, he had a huge role. And obviously transitioning to whatever he's going to do next, he's going to have a huge role as well. But he was always the first one speaking, the first one reminding guys when they needed to do better, but also encouraging guys, you know, that we were really close. Right away, UD, he's got that credibility right away. He can tell anybody anything, and they're going to respect what he has to say. And then I think it was a great moment that last game that, you know, he played, and he played so well.
So good.
And guys were basically like, oh, man, he's still got it. He can do it if he needs to do it. So that was a cool kind of, springboard into the playoffs. And then obviously the play-in games were still a challenge for us. We had to grind through those. And then we just kept grinding through it, you know, day by day, you know, little by little. You know, I think Spo mentioned in the playoffs, there's beauty in the struggle.
Yes.
And really, that's kind of how we all approached it.
Yeah, Spo, if people actually listen to what he says and not just, like, think it's coach talk, they'll actually understand. I mean, there's meaning to what he's saying. It's not just coach speak and not just trying to get people, you know, out of the media room there, but... I wanted to just go to that first round of the playoffs. So what was the play-in loss to Atlanta, was that the lowest point of the season? Because everybody else from the outside looking in thought, oh, okay, they'll just get it right at the end, win that playoff, it'll be all good.
Yeah, so coming in the locker room after that game was very discouraging. We had been beaten and been beaten handily by Atlanta. And basically we, you know, had a day and a half to figure out, like, you know, we got to get ready for Chicago now, and we got to figure out how we're going to just get one win. And the good thing, going back to, you know, the character of the guys in that locker room, those guys wanted to win, and they wanted to keep playing. They wanted to keep fighting together as a group, and you could tell in the second half of that Chicago game that our guys were not going to quit and just keep battling.
Thank God for Max Strus.
Yeah.
How is it that a team that just barely crawled into the playoffs, winning that Chicago game basically in the fourth quarter, has the type of confidence to go into Milwaukee and take game one? Like, what were the conversations like? What did Jimmy, Bam, or anybody do to make anybody feel that could happen?
Yeah, so it started with Jimmy and Bam. Obviously, they immediately instilled belief in everybody and the rest of the team. Jimmy was, like, extremely locked in at that point, and we all could see it. We could sense it. We knew he was locked in, and then we also knew, like, we had just had, like, two battle-tested playing games. You know, it was the Atlanta game and Chicago game really prepared us to win game one against Milwaukee.
Right.
They had you know, a lot of time off at that point. We felt like we were just, you know, ready to go in there, and we really just focused on getting game one. And seeing where that could get us.
And you got game one, but you lost Tyler with a broken hand. Like, it seemed like immediately the challenges were smacking you guys in the face, and it didn't seem like it was an issue. Take me to the 56-point game from Jimmy, because throughout that first round, when people say playoff Jimmy, it's because he's taking shots he wasn't taking in the regular season, making shots he wasn't taking in the regular season, and it's just like a person you've just never seen before. So when you're watching that 56-point game, you're thinking what?
I'm just watching, like, in amazement. That second half, you know, the shots he was hitting, you know, the skill that it required, but also just his will to win. It was insane, and all of us are just watching, taking it in. A lot of us kept the box score from that game.
Really?
You know, a lot of people are talking about it's one of the greatest performances, you know, in playoff history. And really, we're just watching with amazement at the amount of will to win. And those are shots, like you said, he's not taking as many of those in the regular season. But he has a great feel for the game. He knows when he needs to score, when he needs to get his teammates involved. And he can control a game, you know, on both ends in so many ways.
And, I mean, I still think if Josh Hart doesn't slide under his ankle, it might be a different finish to the season. But the next round, I think after the first two games, Bam got a lot of criticism, right? One of the things that drives me nuts is when people criticize Bam for not being this refined offensive talent. If Bam had that refined offensive game, he'd be the best player in the league, right? Because he does everything else so well on the defensive end. So talk to me about Bam, what he means to the team, and where that, like, offensive complaint comes up empty.
Yeah, so for us, like, a lot of that other stuff that people say about Bam is just noise. We're constantly reminding him, you know, what he means to the team, how important he is on both ends. You know, arguably the best defender in the league. We ask him to do so much on that end of the floor. Multiple coverages. He switches. He guards 1 through 5. He's just as good at guarding a perimeter as he is a big. And then offensively, we play through him a lot. Even if he's not taking the shot, even if he's not being aggressive, we can always throw the ball to him. And sometimes it's just to be a pressure release. But he's getting other guys involved. And, you know, a lot of that is through our system that we have the you know option to play through him because of his skill level.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of that means he's not always going to be scoring like maybe other people want him to do. But we all fully understand how important he is to our team on both ends of the floor.
And then I just want to take you to that Celtics series. Up 3-0, must feel great. The level of, like, ascending stress after loss 1, loss 2, and loss 3. Like, what were those experiences like? And what was that space between games 6 and 7 where Spo and Jimmy said, yeah, we're going to go win. But everybody else is like, eh, I don't know.
Yeah, so as great as our run was in the playoff, after game 6 was a worse feeling than the feeling we had when we lost to Atlanta.
Really?
You know, to lose in that fashion, 0.1 on the clock, on offensive tip and rebound, and then have to go to Boston for game 7 and pick up the crew, rally the troops. But right after the game, Spo was saying that, Jimmy was saying that, and I think it really made everyone else believe. By the time we got 24 hours later, I think everyone believed we were going to go in there and get that win. But obviously, you know, being up 3-0 to tie it was a lot of pressure. At some point after the game, we all congratulated Spo on not being the first coach to go up 3-0 and then lose the series. So, you know, we definitely had that going for us as well.
Yeah, it must have been a great feeling. And just the last thing on Spo specifically, because he was obviously part of the podcast, and, like, that was where he grew, like, as a coach, you know, coaching LeBron and just learning and just that desire to just not be the reason why the Heat lost. Now, in 2023, he's considered the best coach in the league. What makes him such a special coach?
I think the fact that even though he's thought of that way, he still is the same guy. He still, after a regular season loss, is upset if we're not doing things the way he wants them done, or the way we all want things done. He's still continuing to try to improve as a coach, as a leader. And that's, I don't think for him that's ever going to change. Obviously, he's matured a lot as a coach. He's learned a lot through experience. But he's still, to this day, trying to figure out today how he can be better from yesterday and tomorrow be better than today.
I used to say this when you were a player. I used to say, if you want to win, play Chris Quinn. And so now if you're hiring a coach, if you want to win, hire Chris Quinn. Guy's going to be really good. Chris, thank you so much
thank
for your
you
time. Is. I appreciate it, brother.
Thank you very much.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th.
Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.